many here have ever had your feelings hurt? I got a message for you tonight. Come on. My message title is this: Feelings, a Tool of Satan. Feelings, a Tool of Satan. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Folks, people have been on the outs with pastors because they've had their feelings hurt. People have left churches because they have had their feelings hurt. The devil will use these things. Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I want you to hear how nice the pastor was to her, Pastor Jesus. But he answered her not a word. I can just see it. Kept on walking. Didn't answer her a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. That's all the leadership. Let's get rid of her. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, listen to this. I don't think her feelings were hurt too bad, because he and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, he even got nicer, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. How many here would get, don't raise your hand, upset if I called you a dog? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Lord, thank you, God, for your word. I pray, God, that you'll help us here tonight, God, to do your will, to serve you no matter what comes in our life. God, I pray that you'll help each one of us here to leave with a different perspective. God, of Lord, our appointed time to worship you and to praise you, Lord, to serve you no matter what comes our way. I pray you bless each one here. Anoint your servant to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Would you agree with me that people live by their feelings more than anything else in this day and age? It's almost sickening. Can I just be honest with you? Because I'm going to do it anyways. So just nod your head, say, Pastor, be honest with me. It is almost sickening the way people are today. And I'm meaning by this, well, you can't say anything anymore because you hurt somebody's feelings, you offend them. That's what I'm talking about. I believe this is true because if you listen, you will hear people talk about how they feel more than just about anything else. I wonder sometimes if we are serving the God of feelings more than the God of the Bible. Come on. Emotional people make big mistakes, folks, when they base decisions on how they feel rather than obeying God and what they know is right to do. People can know that some of their decisions are wrong, but because of how they feel, they do it anyways. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Come on now. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 through 10. The heart, listen to this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. God says, I search your heart. I try the reins and give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God's not worried about your feelings. God wants to see what you're doing. God wants to see the fruit in your life. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me tell you something, folks. You go and follow your feelings. You disobey the word of God. You know that you're doing wrong. To you it is sin. Come on. We have to learn, hear me, we have to learn, folks, how to live beyond our feelings and do what is right, even when we feel we have been wronged. It doesn't give you a right to feel justified. You got to do what is right even when you feel you've been wronged. You see, I try my best not to allow my emotions to influence my direction. Folks, if I let feelings rule my life, I probably would not be here today. 20-some years of pastoring, folks, you think your feelings don't get hurt every now and then? Come on. I decided a long time ago that I'm going to follow God's will. I'm going to follow His will for my life. I'm going to follow His will for this church and not let my feelings dictate what I do or how I respond. I have learned to let the Bible, what the Bible says, to dictate my decisions. I have set my mind to be a blessing. Amen. I have set my mind to walk in love. I have set my mind to make right choices. The choices that honor God and keep me in His will for my life. Now think about it. How often do you say, well, I feel like, or I don't feel like, and then you do what you feel? Do your feelings dictate how you treat people? Do your feelings dictate what you say? Do your feelings dictate how you run your life? Now you may be thinking, well, I can't help how I feel. Well, I agree. I'll give you that. But let me be honest. Let me be transparent, okay? I can't help how I feel at times. And I'm not going to pretend, folks, that I'm so holy that I don't ever feel anything. Emotions, they just won't go away. Now, understand this. Now, I agree with you. You can't help how you feel sometimes. And your emotions are there. God made us emotional. But we must learn how to manage our emotions and how to not let our emotions manage us. Christians spend too much time caught up in their feelings. And whenever you get caught up in your feelings, it makes life unpleasant. Come on. Let me hear me. When you get caught up in your feelings, life gets unpleasant. Why? You see why? Because all of a sudden, everything around you that you used to enjoy, you do not enjoy any longer. Why? Because you are caught up in your feelings. Think about it. Folks, our feelings want us to hold on to them tightly. Our feelings want us to have serious relationships between our feelings and our attitude. Come on, can I get an amen? I'll say it again. Our feelings want us to have a serious relationship between our feelings and our attitude. Folks, let me tell you tonight, get out of your feelings. You want to make it to heaven? Get out of your feelings. You see, we miss out on many of God's blessings because we cannot see past our emotions. We cannot get out of our feelings. We all know that person that we encounter, maybe it's a family member, that is overly sensitive about everything. They're just a joy to be around, aren't they? Come on, you when you hear they're upset, you say, why don't they just get a life? Come on. I mean, come on, it's the holidays, and we spend time with family. And you know, Aunt Susie over there, she's always got her feelings hurt. And when she comes around you, wherever you're at, you avoid her like the plague. Now, it may not be exactly like that scenario, but you all know what I'm talking about. Sensitivity is a wonderful thing as long as it's not misdirected. Amen? I'm so glad my feelings have no meaning. Come on. And you ought to say the same. My feelings don't have no meaning because I have to do what's right, not how my feelings are directing me right now. Folks, the Bible tells us that the Jews, they did not accept the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You think his feelings weren't hurt at times? But he had a mission. He had a reason to come to earth. Amen? He came here for a mission. He did not let his feelings misdirect him and misguide him. You think it wasn't hurt when Judas betrayed him? I'm so glad his feelings didn't mean anything. I am even more grateful, folks, that my feelings do not affect my salvation. They do not affect my relationship with God. I would have given up long ago had I given in to my feelings. And probably most of you would have too. My feelings have discouraged me at times. I've told you sometimes that sometimes emotion overwhelms me sometimes, and I think, who do I think I am trying to pastor a church in Cleveland, Ohio? What do I think I'm doing here? But I have to have, the Lord has to help me and redirect me and understand it's not by your might, it's by mine, he says. My feelings, your feelings have discouraged us at times. And folks, my feelings have tried to deceive me. They have tried to rob me of my peace and my joy in Jesus Christ. And they have harassed and have accused me of everything evil that is possible. Feelings will do that to you. I have come to recognize a unsettling feelings as messengers of Satan. They are those feelings, those unsettling feelings, they are intended to bring us down into despair. They are intended to bring you down into fear. God does not want you there in despair. He does not want you in a mode of fear. God wants you to live victorious. And I'm telling you tonight, if you allow your feelings, that's right where they'll take you. I could be walking along in the Spirit. I could be reading my Bible. I could be praying and loving the Lord with all of my heart. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, I am overwhelmed with troubled feelings that flood my mind, that flood my spirit. I did nothing to deserve these evil messengers of Satan. It seems as though the wicked principalities and the powers of hell choose at times to attack me in unwanted negative feelings when I least expect them. And often, these mental attacks, folks, they come on me right after some great spiritual victory or great revelation of the Lord. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, trying to drown me in depressing feelings and negative thoughts, I have a tendency to blame myself. I think, why am I so down? Why am I suddenly disturbed in my spirit? Why am I so restless? Why am I so irritable when I don't want to be this way? What have I done wrong to deserve these negative, depressing feelings? Oh God, why do I feel like this? Come on, you know what I'm talking about tonight, folks. Amen. The devil wants to get you feeling down and depressed. Folks, there is an epidemic of depression in our nation, in this world. Have you ever felt in your life when peace and happiness are suddenly disrupted and you're down into the very pit of despair? Have you never prayed Oh God, why am I feeling like I do? God, why is there such a heavy, sad, fearful cloud hanging over me? What's wrong? Have I brought it upon myself? Is it something, God, that I've done? I don't care how saintly you are, folks. It doesn't matter how much of a great saint you are, how much faith or how much revelation of the truth that you have. Folks, there comes to all of God's children this humbling experience of falling into a dry, depressing time of confusion. And when it hits you, everything seems distorted. And inexplicable irrationality is the first sign of buffeting from the Satan. Irritability. Everything seems to bother you. And as much as you hate it, you find yourself short-tempered. You find yourself cutting off loved ones and those that you work with, and maybe even raising your voice at your husband, your wife, or your children. And you may then feel condemned. You may even feel sinful and immature. You will probably do as I do and end up thinking to yourself, how could I feel so low? How can I feel so weak? How can I feel so immature, so stupid? How did I turn from hot to cold so quickly? What's bothering me? What's making me act so unchristian-like? You see, if you allow this to happen, feelings have a way of draining your confidence in the Lord and even in yourself. Your feelings, if left unchecked, and if you permit them to run roughshod over your spirit, they can drag you down and abject despair. They can drag you down into fearfulness. Folks, they want to ruin you. And fear has torment. Your feelings, when in control, you will lie to you like the devil lies himself. They will put on you a fear of cancer. They will put on you a fear of dying, fear of losing a loved one. They will put on you a world of other overwhelming fears. You will be afraid to look at everything. They are like dark, broken glasses that distort everything that you look at. Now, you may have just yesterday had a marvelous thought of God's power. You may have had a great experience this morning in the service this morning, but your faith was alive with hope. You encouraged others and you felt spiritually strong, and revelation, truth, excited your soul. But today, just maybe hours later, that picture can change. That picture has changed. Maybe the cloud was there this morning when you woke up. Maybe it crept over you in the middle of the day. Without even a warning, without any reason that you could even think of, you are thinking and feeling something entirely different. To be really honest about it, folks, you may feel defeated. You may feel down. You may feel strange. You may feel confused or helpless. You may feel like you haven't learned anything. You may feel like you're still in a bundle of mistakes, or you feel even unworthy or dejected or misunderstood. Maybe you feel forsaken. Maybe you feel angry that you feel so helpless, and you feel blue, and you feel discouraged because you are still the victim of a childish pout. You thought you had learned how to handle such crises in the past, but now you realize there's so much more that you have to learn about yourself. You see, it's so easy to throw around theology and simple formulas and tell people, well, you shouldn't feel like that. Yeah, I know. Come on. Anybody ever tell you something like that? You know, you shouldn't feel like that. I know, that's why I'm talking to you. I'm asking you to pray for me. Where's your faith? Somebody ever tell you that? Where's your faith? God wants you to live in victory. God wants you to live in constant joy. You should not be victimized, folks, by feelings of despair or depression. Now, my answer to this, there is not a single child of God on this earth who does not at times experience a low period of unexplained feelings of emptiness or confusion or of fear. Come on. And the longer one walks with God and the deeper one goes in Him, the more one is apt to be attacked by Satan with such hellish weapons. He's going to come after you. I said He's going to come after you. Don't despair. Don't fret if you are going through such experience. Maybe even right now, folks. God is trying to teach you some powerful lesson about feelings and how to deal with your feelings. Come on, worship Him right now. My negative, blue, depressing feelings. Let me tell you something. They didn't come from God. So if they didn't come from God, you don't have to put up with them. Come on. Come on, we want to talk about how you're going to deal with your depressing feelings. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Come on. I can reject. Hear me today, folks. You can reject negative feelings. Why? Because I know none of them are from God. Feelings that make one afraid are not sent from heaven. They are messengers from the pit of hell. They are to be rejected and bound through the power of prayer and a power of faith. Think of it, folks. God saying to us, I didn't give you these feelings of fear. I didn't give you these feelings of doubt. Instead, I give you the spirit of love. I give you the spirit of power and of authority. God calls us to abolish these unwanted thoughts, to bring them into captivity and to obedience, amen, to Himself. We dare not allow our feelings to master us. We dare not permit them to linger and grow into roots of bitterness and doubt. We must come against them. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. And we must cast them down. We are commanded to do this. We're commanded to cast them down. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down what? Imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth unto captivity every thought. How? To the obedience of Christ. Come on. One of the problems with that is we don't always want to be obedient to Christ. Gotcha. Come on. We know we should cast them down. We know they need to be brought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. Every downcast feeling is the fruit of a satanic seed of mistrust. Hear me? Every downcast feeling, folks, is the fruit of a satanic seed of mistrust. It is the old serpent at work again. You see, he's trying to make us question God's faithfulness. It is Satan planting in our minds evil thoughts of being abandoned or being neglected by your God. You see, the devil wants God's children to think of themselves as spiritual orphans, left to their own ways, left to their own will. Where's God at? It's subtle. It's insidious. And it's very dangerous because it is rooted in a lie. The lie, folks, is this, that God is with you to a point. Then you're on your own. That's the lie. He answers some prayers, but he doesn't answer all your prayers. He delivers you from some of your temptations, but not all of your temptations. He reveals himself to you only to go back into hiding again. Lies, all lies. And they're the very seeds of our negative feelings. See where I'm going tonight? No wonder, folks, God commands us to war against those things. Understand, every day, folks, is a battle. Every day is a battle. So, God can cause these messengers of Satan, these negative feelings, to praise him. In Psalm 76, verse 10, it says, man's futile wrath will bring you glory. You will use it as an ointment. You see, negative feelings turned into praise are an ornament for our God. God can show us all the sinfulness, all of the evil still lurking in our hearts. How? By permitting us all the sinfulness and the evil still lurking in our heart, by permitting Satan to attack our minds with these messages. Certainly negative thoughts do not originate from God, right? They do not come from God, but they can be permitted by God. When you sense the enemy of your soul pumping negative feelings into your mind, let it do its work before casting them out. What do you say, Pastor? I'm saying let those feelings reveal to you how weak you are. Let them reveal to you how dependent on the grace and love and mercy of God you really are. Let those sad, confusing feelings show you how evil the heart is and how much his strength is needed every day, every hour in our life. When you allow these things to do their work, it'll show you, I need you, God. That's exactly where God wants you, to realize how much you need him. Amen. So let it expose in you every remaining shred of pride. Let it show you how much pride you have in your life. Let it show how much of an ego you have, or how much ambition or secret sin or lust, and bring you so low that you will never again boast about how spiritual or mature you are. See, one depressing day of negative feelings can knock out any Christian, every false notion and self-righteousness in one day. See, God allows disgrace to make a way of his for his grace. Confess your failure. Confess your faults. Then cast down those feelings that revealed it to you, and committing all of your thoughts to cast them down to him. Amen? And when your feelings cause you to suffer and cause you to grieve, you can be sure, folks, that the Lord is trying to teach you. He's trying to teach you obedience and a complete trust in himself. Learn to rest in him alone when you are swamped by negative, unwanted feelings. Hebrews 5 verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. How? By the things which he suffered. That's when we learn how much we need God. Then we must take comfort in knowing that our Lord feels what we feel. And he understands completely what we go through. Hebrews 4:15-16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when in our time of need." I take great comfort in knowing that my Savior understands my feelings. He relates to all that I am experiencing. Aren't you glad for that? Every feeling, He really understands. And folks, He never condemns me for suffering such attacks from the enemy. Instead, what He does, He tells me to hold on. He tells me, don't be afraid. Amen. He lets me know that He too is familiar with the kind of struggle that I'm going through. And then He offers me an audience at His throne. And with a promise of mercy and with a promise of grace in my hour of need. Now, whether my negative feelings have been a result of physical or spiritual battle or our God, He offers comfort to help when I need it most. What does He mean by this? What does God mean by this? He is encouraging folks, all of His children, to quit fretting when under the influence of negative thoughts. Don't fret about it. No more accusing yourself of failure. No more accusing yourself of being so wicked. Sin, folks, can be the cause of despair. It can be the cause of fear in our lives, but not always. So don't just lie down and take it. Come on. Don't just go to bed at night until you shut yourself in with Him. Don't just go to bed and say, "Don't, I'm not worried about it. I'll deal with it tomorrow." No, get with God. Take care of it. Amen. Amen. And shut yourself with Him and approach His throne boldly, the Bible says, and claim the mercy and the help that He has so clearly promised us. Claim mercy, claim forgiveness, claim grace. Why? These things will help you to expel those negative feelings. That's His formula. It's not mine. That's His formula. That's what He wants us to do. Amen. We have, having claimed victory, having used the authority of His name, having come to Him with faith to lay hold of what? Of His forgiveness and His promises. Amen. To then ride out the storm in that state of rest. Ah, devil, try what you may. But I just got victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. He just flooded me with His grace. Amen. He flooded me with His blessings. I'm in the arms of Jesus. Amen. Let God vanish the negative feelings at His pace. Hebrews 6:15, "And so, after He had patiently endured, He obtained the promise." Psalms 30:5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Amen? See, you can lie down and go to sleep with your prayers on your lips. Oh God, amen, I reject these negative feelings. I commit them, God, to You. God, give me a new assurance. God, take away my fear. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:18, "For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Proof of God's love, proof of God's protection. When it appears, folks, law and order is collapsing, amen, Christians do not have to run and hide. Why? Because our God is closely monitoring every move. He has everything in control. Psalms 11, "How dare you tell me, flee to the mountains for safety when I am trusting in the Lord. For the wicked, having strung their bows and drawn their arrows tight against the bowstrings and aimed from ambush at the people of God. Law and order have collapsed. We are told, what can the righteous do but flee? But the Lord is still in His holy temple. He still rules from heaven. He closely watches everything that happens here on earth. He puts the righteous and the wicked to the test. He hates those loving violence. He will rain down fire and brimstone on the wicked and scorch them with the burning wind. For God is good and He loves goodness. And the godly shall see His face. Hallelujah. No matter how much violence and crime there is on every side, folks, God promised to keep His loved ones from the reach of evil men. Psalms 12, 7 and 8. O Lord, we know that You will forever preserve Your own from the reach of evil men, although they prowl on every side and violence and praise throughout the land. Even in the whole world around us beginning to collapse, folks, any nation or person who really trusts God will be standing. We are not even to fear earthquakes. Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8, some nations boast of armies and weaponry, but our boast is in the Lord our God. Those nations will collapse and perish. We will arise to stand firm and sure. The economy. Don't even fret the economy. Even though it's doing good, it could turn in a moment, folks. Don't fret. Amen. Trust in the Lord because God has promised to take care of His people. Amen. Psalms 112, 6 through 10. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. He does not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what may happen, for he is settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. That is why he is not afraid, but can calmly face his foes. He gives generously to those in need. His deeds will never be forgotten. He shall have influence and poor. Evil-minded men will be infuriated when they see all of this. They will gnash their teeth in anger and slink away, their hopes thwarted. The godly person will not escape all suffering, but God has promised to deliver us in the end. Amen. Psalms 34, 19 and 20. The good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. But the Lord helps him in each and every one. Not one of his bones is broken. God protects him, his people, from accidents. In Nahum 1, 6 through 8, who can stand before an angry God? His fury is like fire. The mountains tumble down before his anger. The Lord is good. When troubles come, he is a place to go, and he knows everyone who trusts in him. But he sweeps away his enemies with an overwhelming flood. He pursues them all night long. Psalms 37, 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God has clearly promised to deliver anyone who trusts him and who calls upon his name. Psalms 127 and 2, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you will starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Don't always rest, but get your rest. Psalms 27, 35, I have been young and now I'm old. I've been there. And in all my years, I have never seen the Lord forsaken a man who loves him, nor have I seen the children of godly go hungry. Psalms 34, 9 and 10, if you belong to the Lord, reverence him. For everyone who does this has everything he needs. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those of us who reverence the Lord will never lack any good thing. Psalms 37, 18 and 19, day by day, the Lord observes the good deeds done by godly men and gives them eternal rewards. He cares for them when times are hard. Even in famine, they will have enough. Isaiah 65, 13 and 14, therefore the Lord God says, you shall starve, but my servants shall eat. You shall be thirsty while they drink. You shall be sad and ashamed, but they shall rejoice. You shall cry in sorrow and vexation and despair while they sing for joy. Let's stand. Folks, God wants us to trust Him. Amen? We don't live by our feelings. We live by faith. Amen? That God will take care of us. Amen? And we're going to do what is right no matter what. No matter how bad our feelings are hurt. No matter how bad the enemy comes and tries to destroy us and take us down. We have to trust in God. His word is full of promises. I've read many of them to you. God will take care of you. Just serve Him with all of your heart. Just trust Him with everything within you. He can be trusted. He's a God that cannot lie. Is there anybody here tonight that trusts in the Lord? Come on. I want you to bring those fearful feelings. Those feelings that maybe have distorted your walk with God. Those feelings that maybe have taken you down. And bring them up here to the altar and say, God, these feelings, I'm giving them to You.